Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long. Judgment day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
You and me.
Preaching, yeah, yeah, all teaching.
here, y'all. Come on. You preachers, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preachers.
I love that part. We all need each other. Hey, wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking. Times are thinking ahead. Welcome, 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 listeners all around this beautiful world, to Bring Back the Family. Focusing on you. I am Kathy Clyburn, your host for Bring Back the Family. I am so happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, Focus on You. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind, okay? So that's our goal. First, we want to acknowledge a scripture, God's word of God, a scripture and a prayer, and then we will get right to it, okay? All right. It is titled Love in Action. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual feather. Serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay? That is refreshing. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty words. Now that is a refreshing scripture. And that comes from Romans 12:9-21. Romans 12:9-21. We can read that every day. It'll give us some good insight on what we should do every day and how we should act and feel about life itself. Okay? Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for our life. We thank you for just keeping us, Lord. And thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship, Lord. And we just thank you for this time together. And just thank you for everybody all over the world that took the time out to listen, Lord, to bring back the family and let it be able to do what it is intended for you, for it to do in your glory. Whatever you want us to do, we'll bring back the family, Lord, and that's what we're going to do today. Just bless everybody and thank everybody for listening today, and we just thank the Lord for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all know I love the wake-up song. It's just it's so relevant, you know, and it just speaks to us just plain and simple. Wake up, you know. And it gives us a lot to think about because something was going on in that time, back then. And they had a reason and a concern for to create this song and to play it and make it and make it relevant to what it is for them. And it gave them some, a cause and a care and concern for whatever was going on in that time. And it sounds like the same things that we're dealing with right now today. So it's a call for people to wake up, to get engaged, and to make a difference. It talks about hatred, war, and poverty challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time, calling for reform and change, awareness, hope, and accountability. And whose responsibility is it? Okay? And what are we going to do to make up in our minds to, are we willing to just roll up our sleeves and just get busy to help our youth? So Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth, educationally, professionally, and spiritually, in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that they can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around the world. But we have to show them. We have to show them. My dad said all they need is a good foundation, but we could take them right where they are now and help them to do whatever it is that they need to do, whatever we were given, so that we can be good, productive citizens and be able to help. What are we going to do for our youth that we see every day? We got little ones running around us every day. What are we going to do to make a difference in their lives so that they can be good, productive citizens? Do we want the best for all of our kids? Do we want the best for our neighbors' kids and our relatives and our friends' kids and just all the youth around the world? Do we want the best for them? You know, then we have to be willing, just willing to help in some kind of way. Every little bit helps. Every little bit help, because we don't like what we're seeing today. We really don't like what we're seeing as far as what's going on with our youth and as these young folk, you know. They're young, 19 and 20 years old, and they're deciding to take lives daily. And so why? Why are they doing this? And what is it that we can do to help, you know? We see kids right in front of us. So we want to, you know, this is our idea for Bring Back the Family, block by block. Block by block. Do something on your block. You know, give the kids and the youth on your block something to do. We have to, you know, first we have to communicate with them. We have to talk to them. We have to, you know, get to know our neighbors, get to know the families on our block, and try to bring those families back to the way they used to be, where we can help one another. And that just requires communication and talking to one another, showing some love, you know, because the kids are not going to learn how to love unless we show love. Okay, they're not going to know. And, you know, I see kids every day, work with them every day. I talk to them every day. I just want to know what's on their minds and what's going on. And I see them interacting. And sometimes they, you know, they can be a little ratchet towards one another, you know. But if we don't show them, you know, and correct them while we see them acting certain ways, you know, they won't know that it's not right. So we have to, you know, teach them as we go. You know, and then we have to watch what we do and say in front of them, because that's where a lot of their behaviors come from, okay? And so block by block, if we could just do something on our block, could you just imagine that if we just do something on our block, every block do something on their block to get these kids motivated, to get them busy, get them thinking the right way in the right direction, you know, pick them up in the morning. Take them to church, you know, talk to their families, their parents, and see if it's okay for you to take them to church with you, you know, because like Pastor O said, they need the secular education and they need the Christian education. They need to know how to read their Bible for themselves to be able to be guided through this world, you know. They need something to guide them through this world. So it's a big place out. It's a big world out here. And hopefully we'll prepare them so well that they'll be able to go out into this world and travel and go all, you know, live in other places and countries and states and, you know, just be everywhere, because we want to prepare them to go, to be able to go. We can't just keep them hostage in the house, keep them hostage and just, you know, not letting them get out and show them how to do things and teach them and socialize them the correct way so that they can be able to, you know, socialize and take care of themselves and know how to behave. They have to learn how to behave, and it's up to us to teach them, okay? My little crew, we went to church this morning, and they're ready, you know. I said, be on my porch at 8:30 in the morning, and they are there ready to roll. You know, they enjoy it, you know. So how are we going to know what they can do or what they want to do if we just extend the invitation to them? Let's extend it to them, you know, give them a little incentive, you know, tell them we're going to take them to the park, we're going to go get you a treat, whatever. Give them an incentive to want to go with you or go to church, and you never know, they might like it. And so my little crew, they are getting used to it, and they like going to church, so they're ready. They're calling me now, saying, you know, be ready at 8:30, you know, and they're ready, and they're on the porch, and they're ready. They all came looking so cute today, you know. And so I was just like, okay, and this is how, you know, we should be doing this. Just you know, get to know the parents, and, you know, just let's take the initiative to give these kids some love, okay, and just look. Just if you just think about it, each block, even if, you know, each block doing something for their kids, getting them back to the church, you know, giving them some books to read, you know. A lot of the kids are graduating from school and they pass in the morning and they can't even read. They can't read, can't write. And so how long are we going to let this go on? Because we've been letting it go on a long, long, long time where it's getting to the point that of the conversation that we're going to have today as far as the education system and, you know, the pipeline to prison, okay? I don't know everything. I really don't. I'm not an expert in any one thing at all, but I know that it's a problem. I'm not an expert on what the prison system do or the pipeline to prison, but I know that something is happening that's not right, that we should be, that we shouldn't keep letting this go on. We hear the word pipeline to prison. We hear it, but what does it mean? You know, what does it stand for? You know, what? We should want to know, But it has to do something with our kids because they're growing up and they're going in that direction, to the prison system. Okay? So are we just going to keep letting this happen? We're just going to keep allowing our kids to be miseducated in all things and so many things and just keep letting them have this way, you know, as they call it, the pipeline to prison. Okay? And we're going to have somebody on this month that's going to talk to us and explain the pipeline to prison, okay? We're going to just generally talk today just about a number, you know. What do these numbers represent? I always tell kids we don't, and we have to talk to our kids. We have to talk to them about everything in this world that's going on because they're going to experience it one day. They're gonna hear talk about different things, but if they don't understand that when they were born and you gave them a name, you didn't give them a number, you gave them a name, and it's important to keep your name good, to keep your name, you know, a high esteem, keep your name, that your name your name was Kathy, your name was Priscilla, okay? Your name is not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, okay? And I tell kids all the time, you don't have to have a number. Everybody don't need to get a number. Okay? Everybody don't need to get a number. And the numbers represent an ID for you and a new identity that they use to track you and to keep up with you while you're in these systems, the jail system, the prison system. And but if we make sure that our kids know that their names are powerful, their names are important, and then it's important for them to keep them clean, to keep them proud, to keep, you know, to keep your name proud, your family name. Don't mess it up. Don't swap it for a number. If they never hear this, they never know what you're talking about. They never know until they, you know, get in a situation where they're going to get a number, okay? I had a kid that I was taking care of, and I told him, you know, everybody don't need a number. You don't have to get a number. Smart young man. And I told him, everybody don't have to have a number, you know. And so I explained to him about it. And so, but he wanted to see for himself, I guess. And so when he did, you know, kind of get in trouble, I don't know if he got a number or not, but when he did get in trouble, I took him to each one of the people that was going to get part of his money. You know, all the people that he had to pay to get out of this trouble that he was into. You know, you got to pay this attorney. You got to pay the probation people. You got to pay the courts. All this money that was left to you is going to go to get you out of trouble. Whereas you could have took that money, you could have went on to college like you were supposed to be up there studying in school. And instead you're going to just be stand out. You was already a standout. And you get up there and you just think no one sees you. Get around the wrong crowd and just start doing some things you shouldn't do. So I had to take them through this system and show them, look at all your money. Look where it's going. You could have had a new car. You could have, you know, paid for all your books. You could have, you know, did a whole lot of things with that money, but you chose to give it to these systems, these people. Okay? So long story short on that, haven't been in trouble since. Wrote me a nice letter about, you told me this. You told me. You gave me the advice. You told me about this system thing. You told me about the number. You told me. I told you. And haven't been in trouble since and doing very well. That's when you have support. But that's an expensive system. Now, I tell kids, I say, I can help you on this side of the wall, but the other side, I can't. The other side is too expensive. And if you don't have any money to fight these systems, as far as prisons and jails, then stay on this side. Be a part of the system in a positive way. You be the judge. You be the lawyer. You be the prosecutor. You be the case manager or the probation officer. You be that. And so these are some of the things that we need to tell our children. If you're going to be part of the criminal system and these systems with prisons, then you be on the part that's going to be the guards, the ones that's taking care of them, or be the warden, or the owner, you know, the investor. Because it is an investment for people. And it's a business. It's a business that people supply goods and services to for them, and they have to pay for everything. We don't get a whole lot of information about that because we have some people that's going to come on that's going to talk about their visit there and how they survived and what it's all about. And so if anybody that's listening have a story that they want to tell, or give us some information that we could, you know, tell our kids, then we'll be glad to have you. But, yep, all this month we're going to talk about the pipeline of prison. We're going to talk about, you know, the difference as far as the education and what the education has to do with the pipeline of prison. And so, you know, like I said, the number is we ought to talk to our kids about these things and even talk to them about school and college. And I ask so many kids when I see them, I ask them, you know, what is it that you're going to do? What is it that you're going to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? You know, most of them say some kind of sports figure. But we have to let them know what they're going to be and what they can do. That let me know that nobody is talking about education to these kids. Nobody's talking about them taking care of themselves or being able to take care of and support themselves in a family. No one is talking about family. No one's talking about you got to work, you got to take care of yourself, you have to be able to have a career to take care of yourself or what? We have to prepare them. We don't prepare them. They're not going anywhere. We don't prepare them. And this is what we're seeing now. A lot of these young people, they are angry, they're mad, and they haven't had any direction. And once they get to a point where they're out of school and then they look back and say, well, golly, somebody, you know, cheated me. I got cheated out of my education. Why can't I read? Why can't I write? Why can't I go and fill this application out? Why can't I have what I need? Why can't I be warm? Why can't I have a car? Why can't I have clothes? Why can't I, you know, spell? Why I can't do these things? Then they realize, oh, somebody cheated me. And so now they just say, well, I'm going to just try to survive on my own. Let me go find me a gun and just, you know, be mad at people because I didn't get what I should have gotten. Or just go out there because they're cold. They have nowhere to go. I was talking to one of my sisters yesterday, and we were talking about the number situation, and we were talking about, well, some of the kids think that's cool, that they think it's cool and to have a number, that they think that's what they're supposed to be doing, you know, or they think that jail is cool. Well, everybody else goes. So this is their thinking, you know, this is their thinking. She was telling me that it's just 16, 12, 13-year-olds that has done some heinous, hard crimes. Where did they learn this from? And so it's like they want to go to jail because I don't know if that's all they see or that's all they hear in the family structure. What? Is that all they know? Is that what we're teaching them? Okay, y'all not going to be nothing. Y'all just going to go to jail or prison or, you know. I'm just like really confused. So let's talk about that. Let's round table and talk about it. It's so much. It's just so much to know. And we're seeing so much. And we could tell that we're missing the mark because of what's going on. I can see a whole generation is just being lost right now. Right now. What kind of choices are we giving them? What kind of choices are we giving them? You know, what kind of time are we spending? What kind of time are we spending? What kind of conversations are we having? How many people did we send a message out to listen to bring back the family, because we have to really try to get a hold of this thing that's going on out here in this world, you know, that we can't even basically go out our homes or sit in church or sit anywhere, go to the grocery store without being in danger, okay? And so what are we telling our kids? What are we teaching them? What are we showing them? It's on us. We're the ones they're learning from. We're the ones they're watching. And so we have to take the time to find out what's on their mind, what they need to do. God gave us all talents, gave them talents. And so we need to tap into what their talents are. Start working on that. Start working on, okay, this is what you are talented. This is what you love to do. You know, I see you do it all the time. This is what you love to do. So let's start putting you in some, you know, around people that's doing it. And let's get you some extra classes. Let's put you in the area of where you're supposed to be so you can learn about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's up to us. We have to get, you know, get them away from these video games, because we also talked about that too, that that's where their teaching comes from. If that's the babysitter, as far as, you know, with the shooting that they do with these video games, this is what's being embedded in their minds. And that's a scary thing, that's how they're being taught. It's almost like they're in the army in the war zone, and they're doing this, and they're getting hypnotized and stigmatized in their brain that, you know, let's just shoot and kill people. Because they're learning it from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then just the excitement of just having a gun. And they don't know anything about a gun. All they know is just shoot and kill. You know, shoot, because then they don't realize these people are not coming back. Mm-hmm. So, talk to me. We got Jackie on Vandergriff. We got Ms. Pierce. And anybody else that wants to get in on this roundtable discussion, just hit one. And we're just going to talk about it. And like I said, all this month we're going to talk about these systems and the prison system and the pipeline of prison. We're going to get more information about it so that we can be able to talk to our kids about it. And inform them about everything. They need to know about everything, because they're going to go through this world. They're going to go through and know everything that I know today is what I, you know, seen, you know. And so they're going to see it. And so they need to know why they need to keep their name clean. They need to know why they know about the pipeline, the prison, if there's some good information that they should know. You know, we should be talking to them about their education and what it is that they want to be, okay? I got so many ideals, you know, to what to do for my kids from my block. It just makes me, it gets me excited, you know. And so this is a handful, much as I can hug and hold, you know. And they enjoying it, and I'm enjoying it. They got a long way to go. I see some things that they're lacking a whole lot in. You know, because they go to school 8 hours a day, 8 hours a day. And I ask them, I said, what did you learn today? Tell me what you learned. Well, I learned how to open my locker. That's what I heard this week. I learned how to, the rule, it was all about the locker and the, and I was like, wow, it just wasn't nothing about it. I said, okay, what did you know? Did you read something today? Did you do any math? Did you do any science? No, none of that. Okay? So that's why it's important to ask your kids what they did every day. And then let them know. Now, you know your teacher's supposed to be teaching. You're supposed to be doing some reading and some writing every day. Okay? And if they're not doing that and you're not doing any of those things every day, then you need to let your parent know. These kids going to grow up. We might not be here to see all the ramifications. We're seeing it now. But if this next generation, what it's going to be the same thing or what? Their kids are not even going to be able to be safe because it'll keep going. So if we do something, if we just start something, do something, God will bless it. He will bless it. So if you want to have a word to say, have something to say, just press 1 and get this discussion going. And then just try to think about what we could do on our block to help our kids, the kids that we see, you know, the kids that we know or the kids we don't know. What can we do to help them? Okay. What is in the number? What is it about the number? What is it about? Everybody don't need a number. It's not fashionable or something to even be proud of. What is the pipeline to prison? What is it all about? Are we supporters and know it? Or are we supporters or we're unaware of the part that we play? What is it? So what future are we preparing for our youth? What future are we preparing our youth for? Everyone don't need a number. It's not popular. Like they think it is, it's not. You know, got to let them know that it's not. And that's not, you know, what you expect from them. You expect the greatest things from them. You expect their name to be the great, you know, to be valuable to them. You didn't call them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You called them a good name. Yeah. And those are things that we should talk about. Yeah. The kids, they're busy. They are busy, but we were busy, and somebody took time out to help us. Somebody took time out to get the broom, the belt, the iron cord, switch. They took time out to correct us, okay? We can't do all that now, but it's something that we could do, and I think if we just keep them busy at all costs. Keep them busy. Give them what they need to make it. Keep them busy. Give them something to do. They at my door right now, but trying to tear down, trying to get in so we could go somewhere. And that's cool. I love that. So just think what that could do now and in the future. I expect these kids to go to greater things and be the best that they can be the professionals that they should be. We're gonna learn how to sew. We're gonna learn how to do a whole lot of things. We're talking about getting us a little business together. All the kids, teaching them about business so they can get their own business one day. Yeah. They have to be able to take care of themselves, or else they will, if they don't have a way to take care of themselves, they will become little criminals. And we don't want that. Okay, God gave us these kids to take care of, and that's what we're supposed to do. It don't matter whether that we had them at birth or not. Okay, they're all our kids. Hey, Miss Jackie.
Hi there.
How are you there?
Hi, how you doing? I'm doing wonderful.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I was just sitting here on the computer looking at the school system pipeline. And I'm looking at some of the little things that kind of directed our children in that way, and we didn't even realize it. Now, they were saying here the school prison pipeline is an unintended byproduct of zero tolerance policy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes zero tolerance policy is keeping a record of children's behavior. And what they're saying here, that is the school's pipeline. Because if you notice that whenever a child has a problem, the first thing they want to know is their school record. What type of student were they? Were they in the infractions in school? So in that zero tolerance policy, a lot of times we have to check the school and see what they have in our children's records. Mm-hmm. And parents, you know, I mean, yes, we're trusting our schools, but some of the people in the schools are human beings, and they have different types of emotions. So as parents, when we go to parent-teacher conference, we want to know what do we have in our children's records. I want to review it. I want to sit down with a counselor and find out what do you have in there. Because sometimes they have things in there that need to be omitted. So as I was reading you the school to prisons pipeline, the first thing came up was the zero tolerance policy. And these programs were implemented and approved by certain judges all over the country. So how are our children going to get around it? Because we have to teach them when you're in a car, how you're supposed to act if a police officer stops you. Because there's things you could say or do that will cause a felony, and you're in the system. So it's a lot more that they are up against. Schools or prison is saying here. But we know prisons are big business. And if your child today is considered a number in school, they are considered a number in prison. Okay? Let's try to figure out how that connects. Is there a connection there? Because knowing where our children is and protecting them, we have to know also know inside the system, know inside the school system. You know, that is my concern when I pulled this up and saw that the zero tolerance policy, first step of implementing the tragedy in 1999, Columbus school shooting, was intended to reduce if the policy prevented future such incidents throughout the placement and how the schools are using the zero policy. So as this is just a note that we need to check the schools and follow up what they have in our kids' school records, because if there's any kind of infraction, the first thing they're going to do is talk about the behavior of the school, the kid in school. And whatever a teacher says, whatever a principal says, or a counselor can reflect what direction your child will go into the future. That's why it's important that we have involvement in the schools, that know what our children are doing, and they know what we are doing, and the teachers and administrators are familiar with us and know that we're working as a team to get our children or all of our children to the next level. Because you have some good people that represent our children, and they want the best for them. And then we have a few knuckleheads out here that come to school with the wrong intention. So how do you move away from that? Keeping your child more active and keeping them involved. Sometimes the kids, they, and I notice your kids, before they go, they, I don't know if I want to do it. And you encourage them to do it and try it, and then they start loving it, and they beat you to the car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So,
one, we keep our kids, keep their minds on godly things, because, and not let it, and let them think serving the Lord is a chore, and understand that it's a joy. So that's, we got to kind of keep them, pulling them together, because if you, and as an adult, we know that if we get ready to do something, there's some part of the mind saying, you know that's wrong. Then the other part of the mind, go and have some fun. But that one little secret, little in your mind, that little whisper, you know that's wrong. But it's saying, I'm giving you free will to make that decision. So I guess we have to teach our children, listen to your inner spirit, and kind of put yourself in an environment that's not so easily to get caught up into something. Does that kind of make sense?
It does. Yeah, you have to take them, you know, and put them in different environments and things like that so that they know how to behave. And you're right, they sometimes they say, well, I'm not going today, you know, and so then I just kind of reach out to the parent and say, okay, now look, whose decision is it? It shouldn't be their decision whether they want to go or not, you know, or just let them know the benefit of them going and finishing what they start. But they started this golfing, and so at the end it's going to be a tournament and prizes and things like that. So I told her that this, it teaches them to complete what they start first, and they possibly get a scholarship one day, and possibly, and this is something good for the resume, you know. So when you tell them things like that, then the parents realize, okay, y'all get out this house. So, yeah, but now, like you said, they are excited about participating in things, but you have to put them in things in order for them to be excited. Yeah.
That is so true. That is so true.
Yeah, and like you said, parent involvement is very important. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ms. Jackie.
Okay, no problem. But, yes, I remember hearing this statement, and I use it, and it probably was used way before Hillary Clinton made the statement that it takes a village to raise a child. And that is so true, because we all have, we can't allow them to lose them. When we step out and have expectations from them, for them, yes, all I do is do this. Well, you know what? You have some activities over here that you can enjoy as well. Well, my schedule is so busy and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? A well-rounded person is quite busy. When time is so valuable, and when you look at your calendar book, you can see how important you are because you have a busy schedule. But our young people expose them, and if we don't be encouragers of getting out there, trying new things, expanding yourself where you can be well read, when you grow up and you're put in a situation, you can have that conversation like your kids about golfing, whether they ever pursue golf in their life, if they're in a in a position with a conversation. Oh, yes, I was out on the greens. Yes, I was doing ABCD. I was exposed to this. And they could have a conversation and understand what the other person is talking about. They might not have a master's degree in it, but yet and still they can hold a conversation because they were exposed to it. And I think that's a very important stage that, you know, we put our children in. So we have to find things that keep their minds occupied and also know that prison, like they were saying, traffic stops, all of that is big business. So we mm-hmm. have to putting ourselves in a statistic. How do we mm-hmm. go about eliminating ourselves from being a statistic? One of the very important things that, and I had stopped making it the forefront until you gave Jacob a calendar book. And I actually remind him, bring that calendar book so I can teach you how to use it. Because if someone asks you, where were you at on this day, 2020? Mm-hmm. Most of us remember. But if you have something in that calendar book, it can jog your memory and take you right back where you were. And all of our mm-hmm. children need to keep a record. We need mm-hmm. to keep a record, something, so we can detect ourselves. If that is a good, and that's a little small thing that we can do as parents, mm-hmm. teaching children how important it is to keep your calendar book. That way you know what time, what day your appointments are or what you're supposed to do. And review it. Make sure you met deadlines in that calendar book because that sets you up for success. So, and I know your meeting is designed on the prison number, but it's also designed on how can we keep our children out away from the prison number. And it's the mm-hmm. little things we do that we can teach our children so they don't be exposed to certain things. Because if you can identify your whereabouts, most likely you won't be accused because there's so many innocent people in prison also. Everybody in prison is guilty. Somebody did not have, like you said before, a finance type of lawyer, or they mm-hmm. could not remember their whereabouts on such and such a day. And they got caught up mm-hmm. in the system, okay? So in the education, we need to educate our kids how to, if you're stopped by police, how you're supposed to handle the situation. Making sure that you and you're in these schools that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing so you don't have that record in school under the zero tolerance policy, because all of this works not in your, it can work in your favor or it can work against you. Anybody want to comment?
Yep, you want to press 1, you can comment and have something to say. I can open up your mic. They don't want to get caught up in these systems because I always tell them, I said, when you get caught up in these systems, then you're in their house, and you have to go by their house rules. And once you get caught up in them, it's so hard to get out because it becomes like a game, and so many players, and all these players are, you know, wrangling over your life and what your life is going to be. And I see it now with the juvenile system and these kids getting in trouble so soon, so early. And one thing about it, the pipeline has really just destroyed, you know, our school systems and our families and things, because if you look at it now, look at how things are now, whereas now they don't have people to work. Where is all the people at that they cannot fill all these jobs? Are they all locked up? you know, where, you know, if they're not educated, where can they go? Where can they go and what can they do? If they don't know what to do, if they don't know how to survive, you know, that's going to gear you into, you know, going to the, you know, the criminal system. And so sometimes I'm just looking at it right now, how they don't have the people that they need to fulfill all these jobs because no one is educated. They can't get in these positions without the proper education. So if we're not educating the kids and they get to the point where they can't go any further, who's going to fulfill all those jobs? Then you got people on, you know, drugs. They can't fulfill them. But now all these years later to come to this point to where they are just suffering for people to work. I even heard a news flash the other day where now they're saying that they don't have enough prisoners inside of the prison. There's not enough of them. So they're all getting together. They don't have enough help. One thing, they don't have enough help. So they're combining all these prisons and juvenile systems and things together. And they don't even have the population that they used to have. So it's you know, it's like a crash going on here. So yeah, it's important to, to gear them, you know, get them ready for what it is that they need to do in order, you know, for their future. What are we preparing them for? What are we preparing them for? If we're not giving them any kind of direction, then they're going to find their own direction. And it's usually, you know, not the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like I said, I'd be talking to the kids all the time, you know, what are you going to do? You know, I even talk to the parents. And some of them get in and some of them don't. You know, it's like, no, they're going to stay home today. And I don't care what you got to offer. They're just going to stay in the house. Or they're going to, you know, I don't care if they learn or not. You get that sometimes. And that's sad. And I just tell them, I say, okay, well, what they going to do? And they're going to, when it's time for them to turn 18, you're not, you know, responsible for them no more. That's what they think. Where are they going to go? How are they going to get out? Okay, go on out there and do something. Just get on out. Go do something. I don't care what it is. And I've seen so many get out there and do what they didn't care what it was and get into that drug system scene and end up in the system. Because they don't know what else to do. They think that's what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. Sometimes, and I've heard people say, well, everybody is not for the activities of learning how to play an instrument. Everybody is not, don't want to do that. Well, I don't think our little minds, young minds, know what they want if they never tried it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if we don't keep them busy or occupied or something that's stimulating their minds, then we can't blame them if they take on a direction someone can influence them that their voice was louder than our voice. And I think whatever voice a child is listening to, the loudest voice is the one that they are going to follow. So if you don't have a plan for them to do, and sacrifice and say, well, I have to carve out a little time in my schedule to make sure that their life is important too. So when you're planning the schedule, what is important? Okay, let's carve a little bit, put their name in the book and said, okay, this time has been blocked because Junior or little sis is going to ballet classes or some golfing or some type of active music, singing lessons or something. They're going to get involved in it because we have to stop saying, my schedule is so busy. My schedule is so busy. Whatever important to you, that becomes if they become priority, because sometimes we can't control. And if you're working in the hospital and they say you have to work overtime, you have no control over time. But there's always, I remember the commercial when they used to say the YMCA was there for a whole kid. And you look at the underlying, because there are different programs out there that you can get your kids involved in. It's just that you have to search, but you have to also, another thing, you just have to be careful because there's so many predators out there. You just don't want to leave your child with anybody. And I think that's a lot of the fear that people have.
Yeah, we just have to pay more attention. We have to pay more attention, and we have to sacrifice that time that we need to give them, because, like we always say, they're only going to be little for a short period of time. So it's our obligation. It's our, you know, we're supposed to take that time out. We're just supposed to. Okay, we got 9990. Hello, you're on Bring Back the Family. Welcome.
Hello, this is Rebecca Johnson, and I just wanted to say how much I just wanted to let you know how much I enjoy the show and this pipeline to prison is the new slavery, and each one of us has a price on our heads because they can make X number of dollars for each one of us if we get in this system. And so anything we can do to prevent that is essential and important. And I wanted to mention also this calendar book. I have a love for bullet journals, which is method of creating a calendar book out of any blank book. And if someone wants to know more about that, I would be happy to show them how to do it. And that's all I want to say.
Great. We are sure going to get that information. Thank you. Well, stay on.
Okay.
Thanks for participating. Hey, Ms. Johnson. Great. That's what I'm talking about. Every little thing to help, every and any little bit of help, you know. We at a critical point in our lives right now, in these kids' lives, that we have to wake up and just do something that's going to help. Because once these kids know that we care about them, they want to do better. They want to do better, but if we just let them just kind of defend and fend for themselves and make their own decisions, then, boy, look what's going on, okay? So, yeah. Let me see. Yeah, the new slavery, yeah. That's about right. And let me see. Like, you were talking earlier, Jackie, about how they track the kids now, so they're tracking them with their behavior incidents in schools and things like that. And that lets them know how many prison doors that they doors that they need to make for the future. So,
well, you know what? I read something. It was a while back, and you know if it's factual or not, but I heard or read something that these state tests that your children are taking, you know, they are numbered, and they kind of use that data to determine which numbers are most likely in on the right and which ones are most likely on the left. Now, it's not saying that your child would wind up in prison if they have a low test score. But when they when they're tracking and analyzing those numbers, they're putting those kids' numbers over into the over to the right or over to the left. And that plays a major role. And with technology the way it is right now, if a police officer pulls a child over or an adult, everything pops up on their computer. So your privacy, you don't have privacy, but they know a lot about you before you actually, they actually get out of their car. So we have to be very careful. And I know the young minds, they think that sometimes we are a little old-fashioned about what we are talking about. But the thing about it is that we had to go through the same thing. We had to go through the same thing of making sure that we kept our nose clean, as old folks used to say. And we had to make sure that we made a decision not to socialize with children that did not have the same direction. So some of it, you got to put it back on the children to let them know you're at a stage in life that you have to know how to make a decision. Well, let's do a role play. You're in this situation here, and this is your buddy over here, and this is saying to you, hey, let's skip school today. Let's go have some fun. Well, what would you do? Would you say, I have an obligation to be at school, or if I'm going to go over here with this group of people and have fun? Well, they have to also know that while you over into this uncontrolled environment, anything could happen and your whole world could turn upside down. So, you know, if and that just popped in my head, if we, when we're talking to our children, let's create a movie, acting, a theater. And you play the child, and they play the adult, and role play and say, how would you handle that situation? Because sometimes we don't know, because sometimes children don't share things with you. That just popped in my head. I'm not saying it's factual. I'm just saying that sometimes maybe in talking to them, we need to take the time and do some role playing. And be the child and let them be the adult. And how would they handle situations? You know, as I'm the child and I'm going to skip school with Jane and Mary, and we're going to go over these little boys' house. They're not little boys because they're grown. They're not going to school. So we're just going to hang out over here because this is a free drop-in and we don't have adults controlling the situation. But yet and still, our neighbors see. They know the little girl that's going over there and they'll turn a blind eye and not tell the parents because they don't want to get involved. So let's play that role play, and I'm the child, and this is what I'm going to do it, and how are you going to handle it? How are you going to convince me that this is not the right move, because I could be in the wrong place at the wrong time and something happens or somebody got killed and everybody in there is now a part of this situation, and everybody could go to jail until they investigate. And then now you're the one that really don't not tend to, and they put all the blame on you. Now the child has a record.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Right. We have to try something. I don't think that shouldn't be off the table. We have to try something because, you know, you have, like you were saying, you got predators and all that out there. So they're trying something. So we have to try something. You know, they're not afraid to try whatever they try. And you have a lot of, things going. You got the trafficking and things like that, people kidnapping kids and all of that. But if they're doing their thing, then we should be doing our thing faster and quicker than them. You know, we should be ahead of them and doing what we need to do for the kids. You know, there's going to always be some evil going on. But we have to overpower that with more good.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That's so true.
Mm-hmm. And that way, if there's so many of us out there that's doing good and we're working with these kids, they won't be able to get in. They won't be able to get in because they know that there'll be people watching.
Mm-hmm.
So we just sit back and just let, you know, people have their way with things, you know, with doing the evil stuff, and they know that we're not looking, they know that we're not concerned, then they're just going to keep having their way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that happens every day. And, you know, I was looking at another documentary where they were talking to one of these predators, and he said that, one of the things that he looked at, and he always put himself in an environment that for people to trust him. But he looked at the families that were dysfunctional. He looked at the families that didn't have a strong male presence.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at the families that that it was some trouble there. And
so
those are the children that were vulnerable. And he misled the children. That's how they target them. But that's the same way about when they targeted these young people to get off into criminal activity. They don't come into the child with a strong home presence or where the parents know where the child is, or they have some type of relationship with their child. Where the child is talking to them about everything and most of the things in their life, because nobody tells you everything.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if we start, and I guess it's starting somewhere, because we have to be smarter than our children, you know. We have to let them know that they are important. And how do you feel about this situation? Get it? And I like the way you talk to kids. What did you learn today? Because if they can't tell you they learned something, it's a wasted day.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Been there 8 hours. 8 hours a day. You only learn how to open up your locker. Yeah, so that should give parents a clue to what's going on. Get up to the school. Sit in there. Sit in on the classroom. Find out what's going on. You know, why they only just learned how to open up the locker today or open up, you know, or they ate lunch. That was it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm quite sure that the little one had more experience than opening up a locker. It's just that was a lasting experience.
She was old enough to tell me something more than that. She really was. And so, you know, if you don't give, if you don't check behind them, or, you know, they go to school, the teacher don't give them nothing, they glad. They ain't going to check the teacher about what they glad. If we don't check them about their homework, they glad you're not going to check them. They glad to let it, because they don't know no better. They think that they're getting away with something, you know. Oh, good, I ain't have to do that, you know. So, yeah, so that's why it's important for the parent to care, because and be involved, because because they have to care. They have to be the ones to care about these kids, you know, and let them know how important it is that they learn every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, well, I'm all right. I'm okay with the teachers just showing me how to open the door or use my locker. I'm good with that, Miss Cat. But they all, I asked them, you know, what they said they did multiplication. I want to know what 6 times 6. You're in the sixth grade.
Right.
You should know what that is. You know?
Right, right.
Yeah, so. And that's why you have to quiz them and ask them and give them a little test about what they said they learned.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't bring any of their books home. They don't bring any notes home or anything like that. They leave it all in school. So you really don't have no way to finding out what it is that they're doing.
So so you're saying that you need a measuring system to measure what's going on. And
right.
That's a concern of mine, because I think that I have a problem when you wait to parent-teacher conference
mm-hmm.
to say that a child needs help, and now the report
mm-hmm.
card is coming home. Well, when did you know that this child, the first time they took a test and they didn't pass or didn't get a good grade, or the first time they didn't turn their homework in, it should be
mm-hmm.
a check and balance. Because now we have technology, and all you have to do is send an email to a parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right. It's really easy. Mm-hmm.
It's really easy. And I know you have a life, too. As a teacher, you're a parent. You got to make sure your kids doing their schoolwork. And after
mm-hmm.
you get through. But when you talk on that position, it's more than a job for you, because you're
mm-hmm.
educating kids to become a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I sympathize that they have a relation, a thing, but they have their own lives. But it only takes a second to say, just to overview or text that parent and say, overview of your child's day. The day was a good day. They turn in their homework. They have homework tonight. Or text her, your child has homework tonight. Okay? It could be a one-liner.
Mm-hmm.
Your child has homework. So then that
parent
is
They've been trained to, and they, what do you give an oath or, you know, you promise to do, you know, to be teachers to these and care about them and love them the same way you love your own kids and want the best for them like you want for your own children. And so these kids, they just keep going and getting pushed on and pushed on without knowing anything. And then, like I said, when they get older and they find out, wow, we was just pushed on, when they get to know what they really, that they didn't get what they was really supposed to get, you know, that's when they become angry and okay. And the teacher should be afraid, because you never know when one of those kids feel like they want to take it out on who they think should have given them what they were supposed to get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I like that calendar. You know, a way to, we probably could help them to be more responsible about their own learning is, I like that, the bullet journal and the calendar book, where we let them, give them the planner, calendar book, the bullet journal, whatever, and make sure that they write down everything that they did in that day, and make sure they bring that home every day, you know.
That's it.
And that'll give them some sense of okay, this is what I have to do, and I got to make sure I do this, you know. And it's there, something. It's like a diary or something, you know. And mm-hmm. that'll give them mm-hmm. a way to be responsible for their learning as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they know. And so if you didn't learn anything, you're not going to put anything down, right? So I wonder why I didn't learn nothing today. They'll be wondering, okay, well, something going on, you know.
That's
I needed
it.
To learn something today.
Mm-hmm.
And then the teachers see them doing these things, then they'll wonder why they're doing it. And then they'll
mm-hmm.
get to thinking like, well, I better start teaching these kids. You never know who's watching you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so what I was going to say is a teacher was telling me about the new way that they're going to be tracking, that they're tracking the kids now that they said the parents don't even know. And they're tracking the teachers. They're doing it by the incident and the behaviors that the kids are having. They're writing it down. They're marking it, you know, giving them marks. And so those are indications of how they're going to be tracking how many doors they're going to be writing for prison for the prison. And then they're going to be tracking the teachers as well. I know she said she's going to come on and talk about it. She'd give some more better information about it. Because she was saying that a lot of the kids have mental illness and behavior problems because of their, you know, might be, have mental illness. And because she's going into social work now because she said they need more social workers at the schools, in the schools, because they need to know how to handle the kids. And so, yeah, they're going to be tracking the teachers as well as the kids. So. Yeah, and whenever she gets the time to come on and talk about that, I'm going to reach out to her and see if she'll be able to, and then we'll get a better understanding of how they're going to be tracking. She says, and with it, way that they're tracking, and she said the parents don't know about it. And so, yeah.
No, but, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because
well,
our kids, they do have a lot of behaviors. Uh-huh.
Let me ask you, I understand, and it's good information, but
mm-hmm.
wouldn't it be better if the parents were involved in this as well?
I don't know why she said that they're not letting the parents know or the parents don't know about it. You know, it's just like things that we don't know that's going on,
right.
And we don't know until somebody tell us, you know, behind the scenes or whatever, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just their way of, you know, that's something for them to keep their system going. You know, it ain't, they probably feel like it ain't important for us to know because this is what we're going to do anyway. Mm-hmm. That's
mm-hmm.
how we're going to get our numbers because we got a plan. We got to get these places
mm-hmm.
built. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think that we all have to do, we have to do this thing together. And if the children are aware that you have this tracking system and that they
mm-hmm.
have, that's giving them a right to be at what level they want to be in the system because some children
mm-hmm.
strive to be right and they
mm-hmm.
strive to be in the system. And some struggle, but have the desire. So, you know, what stepping
mm-hmm.
stones do you have in place for them to reach those goals? I know that
mm-hmm.
at one time,
mm-hmm.
I know at one time in the school system, and I haven't seen this in a while, is that they had goal setting times for the kids, and they took different little exams to see what direction their interest was in, and how they would go out. They could get to if that child was in the category that they have which direction they wanted to go in, and they would have a list of what jobs would they could fit into. Or professions they could fit into based on what their desires were. I don't see that anymore. And maybe they have it, and I just haven't.
I was wondering if they even have counselors anymore. I asked the kids and the older ones, do they have counselors? But they really don't. They don't have any active working counselors that they, help them with life skills as far as college learning and things like that. They just don't have that no more. Or either they just don't do that part of it as far as motivating them to in their careers and things like that. And another thing is that, kids are not being able to be kids anymore.
That's
it's
true.
Like, with their behavior, they're so quick to punish them for things instead of trying to teach them things. And kids, they're not going to be still. You have to teach them how to be still. You have to go and let them have the playtime that they need so they can run off that energy, but they want them to sit still, and then they look at that as bad behavior if they're not sitting still, if the boys are not sitting still acting like girls, and if the girls are, doing whatever they do, but they're not allowed to even just be kids. And they expect a six-year-old to just sit down. He ain't going to sit down. So, because we used to have playtime, we used to go out to the play field after during our lunch hour, or that was right in our schedule of the day to go out and play. We played baseball or whatever, but these, I don't even know if they even do that anymore. Because, kids, they can't even play. They can't play Cowboys and Indians. If they do, they might get shot down. They can't, it's nothing for them to be kids about. They want them to be grown-ups and adults and, run back and forth across the street by themselves and, and just let them be parents of themselves. So that's kind of messed up because kids just really can't be kids anymore, and I don't know. Parents are kind of just letting them be, and that makes
and
it
I agree
cool.
with you because that puts a lot of psychological pressure on a child when they don't have them to be a child. We used to go outside and play and. But then in a lot of cases, like for instance, and I know this for a fact at this one particular charter school, a lot of the teachers didn't have, they got the certification to teach, but they didn't have child development. And when they understand this kindergartner would run, if you had child development skills, you would know. That's the behavior of a six-year-old. And as they, ways to get them to sit down, but you have to continue to change there because their mind, attention span, is only going to be a short period here, so you got to change the activity to something else to embrace them and keep them active. But if you don't have child development skills and training, and you take on these jobs just for the money, then you wouldn't understand. And then they want to say the child has this. Now, that's where the no tolerance come in. Now they're keeping a log of your child at the age of six that this has behavior problems, and that follows that child. The parents need to know what's in that child's folder.
So they can't be kids. If they don't be kids, they're going to be penalized, and then they're going to be on this tracking system as far as bad behavior kids, and then they end up being on medication, and, oh, boy, that's a racket. Wow. That's why we need block by block because, the parents are working. The teachers are overworked. Everybody is overworked. We got a lot of things going on in the world, a lot of responsibility, and that's why that village thing is important right now and that we need to get back to, and that we need to do this block by block and try to help out where we can. I was telling the kids, I say, you know, and it's not a lot for them to do, you know, in their own little community. So we have to invent and create things for them to do and take them outside of the community to other places so that they can, you know, have what other kids have. Because when we were kids, we did a lot. If it was just being outside, we was always active doing something. And I know I told the kids the other day, I said we used to go skating a lot. We went, you know, horseback riding. We went skiing, you know, things like that, you know. And like I said, if you don't try it, you never know if you like it, you know. Because I used to say, well, I don't like peach cobbler. And I never would eat it because I said I didn't like it. I didn't know I didn't like it. After I got older, I was like, why don't I like it? I'm going to try it. And so I end up liking it. And my brother just the other day said, then I ain't eating no peach cobbler. I said, why? You never even tried it, have you? He said, no. I said, well, how you know you're not going to like it? Because my mom never cooked peach cobbler. Other people had it, but she never cooked peach cobbler, so we just figured that it wasn't good, you know. But had she cooked it, we would have probably liked it. But they all said, oh, we don't like peach cobbler, but they never even had it. Now I eat peach cobbler. It's good. And so, yeah, they don't know. You know, we don't take them out and let them experience some things. And they won't even try it for themselves, even tennis and all those things keep you active and in shape. You know, I didn't start getting fat till now. Because when we were younger, we were active. We were sports. We played sports all the time. We played baseball. We just go pick a field and start playing baseball, you know, volleyball. So those are some of the things that these kids can do so that they won't be overweight. But we have to, you know, set it up for them and make it available for them. Yeah. And they just don't have a lot going on, but we have to create some things for them, and that's why it's important to get involved. And wouldn't you rather help them now versus later? Wouldn't you rather help them now instead of them being in trouble, being locked up behind cages and, you know, fed slop? You know, help them now. Let's do something now to help. It's like we're part of the system. Like we love it as much as they do. And if we're not giving them anything that's going to help them, then we are supporting the other system. That's the way I look at it. We are supporting. We're not giving them anything that's going to help them make it in the future, and they don't know what they're supposed to do. And they get out there and get in trouble, and we haven't tried to help them to stay out of trouble, then we are supporting the other side. And so it's just, that's just, it takes, because look where it is. It looks like we're supporting them because a lot of our kids are in trouble right now, a lot. The juvenile system right now is just full. They don't even have enough staff to handle all these kids. It's full. Imagine that. So yeah, we have to step it up. We have to care more. We have to love more. We have to talk to these kids. We have to help them some kind of way. We have to. Yeah. Okay. You know, block by block. Let's just do the best that we can. So everybody tuned in. Let's see what awesome. Thanks, Jackie. Awesome. The old, he then took him a little break. He had some, lost his brother, and then he's quite busy. He's a pastor, so he's always has something to do. And so we are going to open his mic so that he can correct us and
Amen.
What, you know, the words say and all of that. We miss him when he's not around, and we did miss him, and hey, he's back. Hey, Awesome O.
Hey, 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 what's up?
How you doing?
I am good. Yeah. I am good. Been enjoying the conversation, and you're right. You know, I'm ready to get back to preaching at church because, wow, I thought I was going to be off from July 28th until, well, the after the third Sunday in July, I thought I'd be off until the last 2 weeks of September, but boy, was I wrong. Yeah, I had three homegoings, had to perform, preach five times. My last time, I preached yesterday in a old-fashioned revival, outside tent revival on Visigoth Road. Mm. You know, Jonathan scared the crap out of me. He said, Elder Stevens, when he was preaching yesterday, he said, yeah, right there on 17th and Visigoth, I turned the corner and gunshots rang out everywhere. And I say, Lord, I've got to go up there this afternoon. but God was good, and everything was successful. Been taught about three Bible classes. I've done more in this 1 month than I did the whole first 6 months of this year. So I don't know what was going on and why, but God knows, and he brought me all the way through it since he does all the work. And all I have to do is open my mouth and let the Holy Spirit bring to my remembrance whatever he have already taught me, and so it kind of works out. But it was amazing. I still don't know why he put me through all of that, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to find out. I'm sure it's going to work out for my good, and I'm sure I'm going to have a day where I say, so that's why you did all that. I've learned that when he put me through what we say sometimes more than we can bear, when he puts us through that, it's for a very good reason, because a time is coming where that preparation is going to ready you for what's coming. Yeah, I love this conversation, though, and you hit the nail, both of you, Jackie, and hit the nail right on the head. You have to get to them before they give themselves over to the prison system. And I think that's exactly where we're failing. The latter part of this conversation that you were just having, you know, coming up with something for them to do, showing them a different side of life before they start looking at the other side. Because once they get to be teenagers, their friendships are going to change, and the things that interest them are going to change. So what we have to do is what's already been discussed is how do we get to them before those times come? How do we prepare them to be able to say, no, I was just having a discussion with the Lord, and part of the answer in that discussion, I ain't going to say it all what we was talking about, but part of that discussion was the only thing that could help. Now, Adam was very educated. He was educated by the Lord, right? God told him how to keep and dress the garden. God told him, look, don't eat the bark on the tree. Eat that little round thing there. Eat that. Okay, God told him, don't eat. See, I know you see the cow and everything else around here eating plants. You eat just these plants. In other words, God had to educate him, give him a secular education on how to live in the garden. Then he gave him a spiritual education, don't eat from that tree. That was his whole Bible. His whole Bible had one verse, don't eat from that tree. Now, none of the education that God gave Adam secularly of how to live in the garden in the world, right, would have helped him when Satan showed up. The only thing that would have helped him is the word God gave him. He should have opened up his Bible when the devil started talking to his wife and said, I heard everything you said, and I don't understand why you feel that way. You might be telling the truth or you might be telling a lie. I don't know. But what I do know is my one verse Bible say, if I eat from that tree, I'm going to die. That was his only protection from what the devil said. And that's why the devil went directly at the one verse in his one verse Bible. He went directly at that. Hath God said that thou shalt not eat from any tree in the garden? He just wanted to open up a conversation. He knew which tree God was talking about, but he said any tree. He wanted them to point out the tree and why they shouldn't eat from it. And he pointed it out and said why we shouldn't eat from it. And then Satan said, oh, well, you're not going to die. That's stupid. Okay, now here's the real reason why God don't want you to eat from the tree. You're going to be like him. And that's all I'm saying. I'm just putting it out there. You're going to be like him. He's not happy about that. So that's why he told you you're going to die. That's a lie. And now if they had stuck to the word of God, no matter how confused they were about this information they just received, they said, well, you know, I hear what you're saying, and I don't know God perfectly, but he kind of made all this and made me and Adam, so we're not going to do the tree thing. We're going to stick with the word of God. Okay? Then they could have continued on with their life. But see, what we're doing is we're trying to prepare our kids for life with just a secular education, which God wants them to have because he gave Adam one. He gave Adam a secular education and then told him, now, here's something different, Adam. This is spiritual, okay? You're going to die if you eat from that tree, right? So he gave him both of them. But what we're doing is we're just giving them the one so you can get a good job, so you can get you a house, so you can get you a car, so you can get you some clothes, so you can go places and do things. And all that is good and true.
Mm-hmm.
But we've left out the spiritual education. Sometimes I hate it when Jesus had me do this, go on Facebook, and I put a post out there. When is the last time you had a Bible class in your house with your family?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, people, you can tell when they get super angry, very few people will say anything, or they'll come on and trash me. But that just lets me know that people are not doing that, even though the Lord told us to do that. We will sit down and try to help them with their secular education, but we won't, and we'll work hard to pay for it. But we won't do the same with the Bible, and they need both. They have to have that secular education because God wants to take them somewhere, and some of them going to need to have certain skills and smarts to get there. Okay? But we won't do that. We want everybody to be Peter, the ignorant fisherman. Everybody can't be Peter, the ignorant fisherman. Somebody got to be Paul, the educated. God got a place for both of them. Peter did his thing for the Jews and to a certain extent the Gentiles, and Paul did his thing. Even though he was a thoroughly educated Jew, you read Philippians chapter 3, he didn't count much to that as he did to what he learned sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ in the deserts of Arabia for 3 years. And boy, when you put that secular education he had from sitting at the feet of Gamaliel together with the spiritual education he got from Jesus out there in the deserts of Arabia that's talked about in Galatians chapter 1, oh, now you got somebody who can go and change the whole Roman world. And he did. Three missionary journeys. Some say his trip to prison was his fourth missionary journey. He accomplished so much. Okay? So God need people who got both. He can use you if you have a little bit of the one, a little bit of the secular, and a whole lot of the spiritual. Okay? But if you got a whole lot of the secular, you need a whole lot of spiritual because, the secular could outweigh the spiritual. And that's what happened in the garden. The secular overrode the spiritual, and they got kicked out the garden. They went for the secular stuff that you get from secularism. They didn't go for the stuff that you get from remaining loyal to God, which would have kept everything they had. They would have lost nothing if they had just stuck to their one-verse Bible. They had memorized the verse. Adam was such a good Bible. Adam was a good Bible teacher. He taught his wife that verse. God didn't teach that to her. He did. God didn't tell him what the names of all animals. He did. So Eve was sexually educated and spiritually educated, but neither one of them drew on the spiritual like Cain. He was raised by his parents. He was a tiller of the soil. So he learned a secular education, a secular skill. He was a skilled tradesman, a farmer, you know, and he had some really educated kids, because when you read Genesis chapter 4, they built cities. They became artificers of bronze and steel. They were doing it, but the spiritual education was non-existent. And what you have in Genesis 4 and 5 is here is secularly educated people with no relationship with God, and they just failed. And here you have spiritually educated people, okay, and a relationship with God, a secular and spiritual education, like Methuselah, who lived 969 years. But you don't hear about their secular, you hear about their spiritual. Then when you get to Noah and his family, they were secularly educated. Noah knew how to work a saw. Noah knew how to work a hand drill. Noah, a homemade hand drill, it's called a bow drill. What they did is it's like a bow and arrow. You take it and you pull it to the other end, and it looks just like a bow and arrow. But what you do is you take it, you put a piece of metal, and you put that on the bottom of a straight stick. And then you take that bow and you pull it against the stick and flip it over. And now you push it back and forth, and it turns the drive, makes the hole. So Noah knew how to do all that stuff. God didn't have to teach him that. God had gifted him with secular giftings to learn how to do that. And then, on the other hand, God gave him the spiritual side. And he taught it to his family so well that his wife believed, his three sons believed, and their wives believed, eight people in all.
Mm-hmm.
God spoke to Noah, Noah spoke to them. So they all had a spiritual and secular education. And they had enough sense to stick with what God said. God said it's going to rain. Took 120 years for it to happen, but it happened. And they were glad that they didn't do like Adam and Eve. They didn't drop the spiritual and try to go with the secular and live apart from God. But they stuck with God. Now imagine this, peer pressure. The whole world turned against God. You and your family, the only ones going to church. The pastor don't even go no more. Now you got to preach the sermons. Noah, he got to preach. He got to tell them about God. The pastor, he over there nutting out with the rest of the people. He done walked away from the pulpit. He threw. The choir done left. The praise team ain't praising no more. But Noah is still holding it down with his family. See, that's why family Bible classes are important. Look, your pastor, your Bible class teachers, they can teach you something, but can't nobody teach you like your parents. I mean, what will children follow and learn everything in the first 3 years from their parents? They mimic them.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even verbalize why they do the things they do, but they can show you can clearly see they're doing what their parents do. So they learn first by mimicking. And that's why Bible class in the home is so important. My mother, she knew me and my brothers, especially Christopher, were nosy and had to get into everything. So she would set these books on the coffee table and tell us to leave them alone. What's the new book that we got to leave alone? Why we can't bother them? Well, of course we went in them. One was Come Unto Me. That's the one that led me to Christ in the end of it. And then it got my brother Christopher too. It had these really sweet pictures in it, and the words were real big, easy to read. And that book got both of us. You know, my mother, the day my father spoke to me, and then my mother handed me that book that we couldn't touch, but we had already tested. But we just looked at the pictures, didn't read the words. This time I read the words, and that's when I gave my life to Christ. So exposed them. I remember Janine preaching, and she said her mother had a certain passage of scripture or something on the wall And that stuck with her. It stayed with her. And you know what kind of person Janine is today. So even if you're not having the Bible class in your home because you don't feel like you can teach the Bible, you know, do something. Put a book in their room and tell them don't touch that. Don't you open that book and don't you read it. Don't you read it.
Right.
And you know.
I'm going to try that.
That's for grown-ups. Don't read. I don't want to. Let me come in here and catch you reading that. And then leave it on the table. You know they're going straight in it.
Oh yeah, that's true. When you tell them not to do something, they go. They want to do it so bad. I'm gonna put some books on a porch and tell them, "Don't y'all touch none of these books."
Exactly. These are my books. These are not for play, and there's grown-up stuff in them. So leave it alone, and then walk off the porch. And come back, and they got all them books open. One time, somebody did that to me. They made me think something was in the book. And I read the whole book, and I said, why didn't they want me to read this? And then I thought, oh, they wanted me to read. I was an adult, and they got me. So something about, like, what did God tell Adam and Eve? Don't eat from that tree. Now, over here, Adam, is the tree of life. If you eat from that, you'll live forever. This one will kill you. But there's no prohibition against the tree of life, so that wasn't very interesting. This one will kill me. I wonder how. So him and Eve just sitting back. And here comes him and Eve, the whole garden, right? And this is where you hanging out, by the tree of death. I don't know what it is with us, but if you tell us not to do something, for real, like you put up a stop sign, stop. I ain't, you know, what happened if I don't, you know, that kind of thing. Like the time I told the Holy Spirit to wash my truck while I go into school and get my granddaughter and come back out, don't let me get a ticket. Well, he washed the truck. I should have told him, don't let me get a ticket. I just say, watch the truck till I get back, like he worked for me, right? Like he's the guy, a valet or something. Well, I did get a ticket, but the truck was there, so he watched it. But I did get a ticket. So, and the sign that I parked by said, no parking, bus loading and unloading zone. But I was only going to be in there for a minute. But
just
the sign said, no parking. I'm like, I don't believe that. So if we could get back to or get to a place where somehow, some way, we can get them reinvested with some spiritual education, that will help them along the secular education to take them to whatever heights, right, in life. But then they'll be guarded when they get there by spiritual education, like Joseph. He had some secular training because there's no way you could pop up in Potiphar's house and run it. You know what I mean? You didn't just magically have these skills. So he had some secular education. But what kept him from raping or sleeping with Potiphar's wife was the spiritual education. He didn't say, well, 2 + 2 = 4, and if you mix this chemical with this chemical, you'll make this, get this. He didn't say that. What he said was, your husband, my boss, okay, has given me the reign over his whole house. He don't even know what he have unless I tell him. And you're his wife, the only thing that he has withheld from me. And so, but he said, I couldn't do that to him, and neither could I sin before my God like that. So it was the spiritual education, the secular education, like God say, your natural giftings, your giftings will make room for you. They'll get you in somewhere. But it's that spiritual education that's going to keep you there. Again, Dr. Tony Evans, when he was going to college and he got this job working at this bus station, and everybody else at midnight was going to sleep, taking turns. You go sleep, and then I'll wake you up and I get some sleep. We'll sleep all night and do nothing. So all the work got left on him. And so he did it, and he kept doing it. And then one day he got called into the office by some of the big heads had come and had a meeting, and they called him into the office, and they told him they knew what was going on. And Dr. Evans, they knew also, because he got a look on his face like he was going to get fired, and he said, you don't have nothing to worry about. We know you're not involved. The reason I want to talk to you is I'm going to make you supervisor over the night shift. And, of course, all the other people got let go. It was the spiritual education from Colossians 22 to the end, where God tells us to work for him, work for them like we're working for him and not for them. He had promised us an inheritance, okay, and plus, since we work for them, we get a paycheck. So it's double-double. So he worked, not like he was working for a man who he could hide from and pull off anything, but he worked like Jesus Christ was his boss, and he was working to please Jesus. It was the spiritual, the secular got him the job. The spiritual got him promotions. The secular got Joseph jobs. The spiritual got him all them promotions all the way up to prime minister. Esther, okay, it was the secular teaching of Mordecai, her cousin. We don't know what happened to her parents, but he raised her, okay? But it was the spiritual teaching that won the day when she said, okay, fast for 3 days, and after 3 days, I'm going in before the king. You don't go in before the king because 2 + 2 = 4, because in her situation, if she went in there not called for, then she could die unless he raised the scepter and received her. So the secular and the spiritual have to be together. So the question on the table is, how do we get back? How do we bring back the family? How do we bring back the family to the understanding, to the place where push hard for the secular, push hard for the spiritual. And pay attention to your kids. Everybody can't go to college. Everybody, somebody got to do something else that you don't have to go to college to learn how to do. Everybody can't go to college, but everybody can make good money, especially these days. Lord, I wish I was out there in the job market. I would sit at somebody's desk and get paid. I'm telling you, as much as they need workers,
right?
You could practically have no education and go in there. You got a body? Can you see me? Okay, we'll train you.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Forget school. You come here. We'll train you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll become a part of our company. And you can get paid. I know people making $18 who just decided they started to work. I heard you ask the question about how do we get all these jobs? There's 11 million plus jobs available,
mm-hmm.
waiting, ready to be filled. Mm-hmm. How do we get people in them? The reason they are there is because we lost 1 million plus people to COVID, so they're out of the job market,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you had 4.5 million people who were working but really didn't have to because they were working for vacation money. They were working. They didn't have to. It wasn't for light bills, gas bills, taxes, and that kind of stuff. It was just extra money to do fun stuff. Well, when COVID hit, those folks decided, I am not risking my life in no department store up in front of people. And most of the people, places that need workers are places where you face-to-face with people. They're having the most trouble. Restaurants. One restaurant said it'll be 30 minutes to get seated and then 30 minutes for your order to come. I'm like, so you telling me I'm going to have to sit here for an hour? You know, but this is the problem they're having. So 4.5 million people dropped out. That's, let's say 5.5 million people are out of the workforce. 1.5 million not coming back because they passed away. So how do you convince the 4.5 million who didn't have to work, who don't want to take the risk, okay, and be beat up by Karen or Kevin who come into the store and go crazy, okay, how do you convince them to come back? The only way they're going to come back is if you pay them more. That is the only way, because they don't have to work. How do you convince retired people like my wife and myself to come to work? you make me a deal I can't refuse, and I'll put them hours in. But you're going to have to sure enough pay me. Companies that make, the CEO usually makes, and these are old numbers, but $11.5 million a year, right? CEO in a Fortune 500 company. The average worker in that company makes $33,000 a year. That is a huge difference, okay? They're
share.
Going to have to share. There you go, Kat. There you go. They're going to have to share the wealth. I mean, really, I'd be satisfied with $1 million a year. And that's just his pay. The stock options are probably through the roof. The guy that closed down Lehman Brothers, the CEO, when they brought him before Congress, he made $284 million a year, okay? And he got a severance package after closing down Lehman Brothers. 26,000 people suddenly lost their jobs in 08 when we had the big failure, too big to fail, they failed. Okay, Lehman Brothers let 26,000 people go. This clown is sitting in front of Henry Wexler, the House Oversight Committee, and they're having a hearing, and he said, "How do you feel receiving $220 million for a company that you just closed? What are the 26,000 people supposed to?" You know what he said? He doesn't set his salary. So Henry Wexler said, "Well, the people who work in your company that do set your salary, who put them in their positions?" He said he did. Then he asked him, was he giving that money back? He's like, next question. So until they get to the place where they're willing to share the wealth and stop hoarding their wealth, as James chapter 5 talks about, okay, you know you're hoarding wealth when your silver and your gold are corroding. And I asked God, I said, "Lord, silver, I know you know everything, and I'm missing something. But silver and gold does not corrode." He said, "The point is you're hoarding it so long and keeping it to yourself, keeping so much to yourself that it's corroding." In other words, you're not sharing anything with anybody. Mm-mm. You're hoarding it all to yourself. How much do you need? Most of us would just be glad to have $500,000. You have $250 million. You have $250 billion. And you can't help nobody. So what they'll do is buy a big old batch of something and send it somewhere. So what we have to do is what you guys have been talking about, and that's get back on the front end of this thing. Start reaching out now, doing what you're doing, exposing those folks to golf, those kids to golf. Okay, never understood it, never even thought about it, never did it, said I didn't like it, did it, now they can't get enough of it. You know what I mean? Somehow, some way, if we pray block by block, do something in your block, okay? And if everybody take their block and do something in their block, sooner or later you got whole streets, you got whole communities. Just like back in the day, I got whooped and sent home by people who wasn't my parents, and then got another whooping at home. But nowadays, the kid will pull out a gun and shoot you, and they're seven.
Wow. Yeah. All because we can't whoop the kids no more.
Right. That's somehow.
And, you know, block by block is the same as getting your block club together like we used to have block clubs. And do different things on our block club. So it's the same thing. It's just block by block, just specifically working with these kids. And you know, I got a witness today that Annabelle Block is working for me for sure, because one of my babies just brought me a plate of food that their mom cooked for me. Barbecue chicken, some macaroni and cheese, some potato salad.
Yeah.
And a hot sausage. Yeah.
I'm over here looking like Homer Simpson. I got drool all over my mouth. Oh, barbecue chicken.
Oh, Yes, but we're getting back to the family around here, so hey.
I think I'm going to have to come over there and work with you.
Uh-huh,
be like, why
right.
why are you hanging out over here, Pastor? I'm like, hey, you ain't got a plate cut?
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm like, ooh, and it's good, too. I already ate some. And so now I really got to take them to the park today because I don't have to worry about what I'm eating. As they are waiting, I tell you. They keep coming
I
to the door. You done yet?
Y'all.
Is the show off yet?
I was listening to y'all and getting fired up, you know. It's amazing because my wife will tell you, just before the show, I was feeling like sleepy and kind of tired. But then all of a sudden I started listening and I heard Jackie. She's so passionate. You know what I mean? And you and this determination. And this is not easy stuff. How do you convince people they need to care about their kids? This is not easy stuff. You got to, like pulling teeth, you have to really convince people to care about their kids. And this prison system.
I'm gonna get
and,
a belt.
The way y'all were discussing, the prison system is a giant money-making system now, and they don't care about
it
rehabilitation.
Is.
They care about revenue. How much is that?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you were talking about the numbers, and Jackie was like, should we look into, are these numbers, what do these numbers mean? And are they a predictor of the future?
Mm-hmm.
Are they saying, oh, yeah, we're going to get that one. We're going to get that one right there. Are they predicting, are they building jails based off of these predictions of children who are most likely to fail?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes, they
that,
are.
That's crazy. But bring back
get
the family. It's going to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
They won't get all the money because you're going to mess up and help some kids and they ain't going to jail.
Yeah, they're going to be on the other side. They're going to be the ones providing some of the services that they're going to that they get in those places. And they're going to be some of the judges and the lawyers and the prosecutors and the criminologists and all those ones that do these things with the criminal justice system on this side. Yes. Mm-hmm. We're going to let them know about it, but they're going to know about the part that's going to, you know, let them help on this side and not the other side. They don't want to be on the other side. They want to be on this side. So, yeah, now you got to talk to them and tell them about those things. Put them in good position so that they can be in good position. Yeah. So,
yes,
that indeed. Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you, Pastor O. You always got to, you know, to break it down, spirit, and you know, everything.
Feel. That's how I can tell the Lord is in this, because I talk based on what I hear. I don't have nothing written down, never do. I listen to him, and as you can hear all them scriptures coming out, that's him bringing to my remembrance. And when he's doing that, that lets me know he's in this and he wants this to work. But he wants you to know this is not easy work. You're asking a pagan world, a pagan people who have gotten lost in a pagan system to wake up and look around. There's a reason why things are like they are, and you might be a part of the problem. So let's talk about it. How can we stop this, start this? You know, and so you won't save everyone, but you'll save a bunch.
Right.
There'll be a bunch. I can see now a bunch
maybe
of people who grow up, and they're grown, and they remember when the change started came from bring back the family.
All right, hallelujah. We're going to get some belts and start whooping some of the parents. I got to see them a whoop. I'm going to get them the whooping.
You just need a whoop. I don't want to whoop your kids. You come over here.
I'm getting the king switch. I'm going to get a
and
king
the kids
switch off
the
tree.
Talking about mama getting a whooping. Daddy getting a whooping.
That's it. I ain't scared. I done told him I ain't scared of y'all. So, yes, Pastor, all that is relevant. You everything that you talked about, it connects with the Bible. all the stories, whatever we talked about, you had a story in the Bible that connected with it. So it goes together. So they need both, yes. You can't lose with that. You just cannot lose. Mm-hmm. The Bible is real. And all those stories you just told today connected with everything that we talked about. And that's amazing. So we can't lose.
That's how I know God's mm-hmm. in it, because only mm-hmm. he can do that.
Yeah. And that's cool. So, yeah, I'm ready for the fight. We're in it now.
Yeah, but we ain't got nothing but time. We ain't got nothing but time till Jesus come, and there you go.
Yep. I told one pastor, I'm doing this till I die. I'm good. So, you know, I got something to do. You find something to do. But
right,
get out my way.
Know.
Give me your kids. You don't want to have nothing for them to do, give them to me, and I'll get them busy. Now just move. You ain't got time to get them. I'll get them.
Mm-hmm. And then think about something to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Gone to work somewhere.
Yeah. I'm telling you, and today the church, you had a whole flock of kids over there, and I love what Sarah is doing with them in that basement, because they come up smiling and they can't wait till she get there so they can run downstairs. So I know that's working because
right.
they love it.
Yes, sir. That's right. They be ready. They be on the porch at 8:30. And I don't even be ready, but they be ready.
They going to help you. They going to say, we're going to help this cat be on time.
And they do. So it's cool. It's cool. And if I don't have any energy, like I was out late and I didn't have no energy, but when I heard some little feet coming on the porch, I'm like, yes, let me get ready.
That is a great work, though. In heaven, they watch stuff like that. In heaven, they watch, the Lord watch stuff like that. Who's trying to help my babies?
Mm-hmm.
He watched stuff like that. Of course, all of us are his children. But then some of us are his babies, and who's trying to help the babies?
Mm-hmm.
And he pays attention to that.
Right.
And it's not easy work.
That's them babies.
It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody feels like doing what they have to do all the time, but it has to be done. And that's what the Lord looks at.
It do. Yes, it do. I ain't got nothing else to do. So, hey, this is it. I don't want nobody come hit me upside my head because they don't have what they need. So,
exactly.
What you mean?
I hate to do this, Pastor, but I hate to do
right.
this, Pastor. I know the Pastor, you preached a good sermon last Sunday, but I'm hungry, Pastor. I'm hungry.
Yeah,
I'm like, you better go talk to the finance committee. I'm broker than you.
What
like,
you
dang,
mean?
Pastor, you ain't got nothing but lint and buttons in your pocket. I'm like, man, I need to be with you. Mm-hmm.
You're going to show them the way to go. So, yeah.
Show them.
Hey, let's
get
give
them
our
help.
Babies what they need. Give them what they need to make it. It's not hard because somebody gave us what we needed. So.
They did.
Tell somebody about bringing back the family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. They did pretty good. So I'm happy.
Well, I have to admit something. Jesus said, you just want to be involved with bring back the family because you know it's going to be blessings passed out. I'm
yes,
like, well,
sir.
Jesus said, blessings is getting
Come
passed
on, get
out.
Your
I'm
blessing.
In.
Yeah.
I mean, think
Come
about it. You're
blessing,
doing,
that's for sure.
You're helping people. Save families, you're helping people, you're helping children. That's big treasure in heaven. See, this stuff we got on earth, it's all temporary and on loan.
Yeah.
But the stuff that
that's
we
right.
do for Christ, like old folks say, only what you do for Christ going to last.
Christ
the Bible
life.
Say only what you do for Christ going to get you treasure in heaven. That's Matthew 6 all the way. This is how you lay up treasure in heaven. It literally says in Luke 16, verse 9, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. So when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. In other words, you get to come into heaven gangbusters. You know, they recognize when you come. Here comes Kathy to bring back the family, help the thousand million kids. That's her right there.
Just let
You'll
me
be signing
today.
Autographs
I'll
at the pearly gates.
I just want to go to sleep when I get there. That's all. Show me my big old bed
weeks.
With all the pillows. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to do. Night night. Yep.
This is the place of work, and heaven is the place of rest.
Mm-hmm. I look forward to it. Okay, well, hey, thanks everybody, Jackie, Rebecca, and all the callers and listeners, and just thank you for listening. And just tell somebody about Bring Back the Family. If you really want to help, tell somebody so that we get this thing rolling block by block. There's nothing but a blessing in it. That's it. Okay? All right, everybody clear? Jackie, you have anything else to say? Everybody clear?
You know what? All minds are clear. I sit back and wait for Pastor O to come on and wrap this up and give us a new seed to plant, some knowledge that we need to help us direct ourselves in our past, and to know that where the direction we're going is the right direction. Because I like the way he used the word. So, you know, my mind is clear. I'm thankful for the knowledge I received. And everybody have a blessed day.
Thank you. Okay, Pastor, you good?
I'm good. I get everything I got to say I'm listening to you, too. So when I come on, I'm like, Jesus say, well, you heard what they said. All you got to do is put some words with it, and you good.
You do.
They did
and
it for you.
You. Excellente. Yes. Pastor, tell everybody about the class you're having tomorrow so they can be ready to tune in and get some Christian history.
That's right. We're starting our Christian history class tomorrow at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio, same number, call-in number and everything. And for the first 3 weeks, we're going to be dealing from handouts. Okay, these are some things, some pre-things that we need to get into before we get into the book. So you can find all of that on our church website, rfcm.org. And all you have to do is click on Bible classes, and then you'll see the history of the Christian church. You can look at that and get the information you need. And then you can look at Christian history questions, review questions, and all the questions and all the handouts, all of that is on the website. And you can just go ahead and print it out or just look at it as we're going through the class. It's a one-hour class from 6 to 7. We'll have about a 15-minute lecture, and then we'll get into the review questions. The first class is going to be the value of knowing Christian history. And we'll have some discussion. There are about six things outlined there, and we're going to talk about those, and we'll do the review questions. And there you go. It's a 15-week class total, 3 weeks of handouts, and then 12 weeks in the book because it's 12 chapters. Questions are at the end of each chapter. So, yes, that's tomorrow. I'm excited about it, real excited about it. I've been wanting to do this for years, and it took maybe 7 or 8 years to get the book down to the 12 chapters the Lord wanted, because most of them are 2 to 4 year studies. And I had to study 2 or 3 different writers to get the information to compact it into 12 weeks. That's done. And finally, we'll get a chance to do that. If you know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, what you know is that it ends in the book of Acts in AD 61. The question is, what happened after that? Because at that time, we didn't have a Bible. We didn't have a Christian creed. We didn't have any denominations. We weren't centralized at all. There were so many different other things that were called Christian, like the Shepherd of Hermas, which really was a book of ethics. Then you had the 14 apocryphal books or Gnostic Gospels. What was that all about? And how did our Bible become 66 books? Because it didn't exist even when John died in 8100 after the writing of the Revelation. We still didn't have what we have today, a 66 book. So we're going to get the answer to that, where all the denominations come from, where the Catholic Church come from, where the Protestant Church come from, all that stuff. The Black Church will be the last discussion that we have, because the Black Church happened from about 1611 to present day. And its story is totally different from every other nationality. And there's a reason for that. So we're going to get into all of that. We're going to go from AD 30 to today.
Wow. All right. Tune in and that sounds interesting. Tune in and stay tuned. Okay. Well, thank you, Pastor L. Thank you, everybody, and have a wonderful, blessed day. Tune in tomorrow on the same number, 646-915-8148. 6 o'clock from 6 to 7. Okay. Have a great day.
I believe the children are children of our future. Let them lead. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride, make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. Thank you.